Last week we were a little bit behind, and this week we're behind as well. I want to do the Haftarah for Parashat Pekukotai, and I'm not sure this certainly, in a certain sense, ends our cycle on the Haftarahs. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do. Maybe Haftarahs that were left out, or Haftarahs Yom Tovim will do, but we started last year on Parashat Pamidbar. This is a Haftarah that is, I would say, I feel very warmly disposed to this Haftarah because it was my Bar Mitzvah Haftarah. Not only I know it by heart, but everybody who was in my class in Yeshiva Torah V'Das knew it by heart. Because at recess time they would hear me, in addition to the fact, of course, that it's the Shabbos that just passed. But there's an extremely important message that is imparted by the Haftarah. And if anything, I learned it in shul, on Shabbos in the afternoon, and I think it has become even more significant in terms of its contemporary relevance. It has become even more significant in the last few days. But you'll have to wait for that. Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu suffers personally for the message that he must impart to the Jewish people. We learned it last week. Where does that surrealistic purchase of a field in Anatot take place while Yirmiyahu is down deep within the dungeons below the king's palace? He is in detention. He's been jailed because he's walking through the streets of Yerushalayim saying that the city is going to fall into the hands of the Babylonians. He was also pursued by all sorts of people. Even members of his own family rejected him. He was passing out a very pessimistic message. They didn't like him. Nobody likes doomsday people. And Yirmiyahu, of course, is the classic doomsday prophet of them all. So he says, Hashem Uzi Uma Uzi, God is my strength and he's my fortress. Uminusi Biyom Tzara, the one whom I flee to, the one who I run to on a day of trouble. Eilecho Goyim Yavo, you should know that unto you Goyim are going to come, Eafsei Oretz, from the very ends of the earth, Viyomru, and they're going to say, what a declaration is going to be made by the nations of the world in time to come. You know what they're going to say? Ach Sheke Nochalu Avotenu, our fathers have given us an inheritance of falsehood. Hevel, it's nothing. Ve'ein bam mo'il. And they don't help. They don't do anything. What they're talking about, of course, is idolatry. And there will come a day when the nations of the world are going to, as Zechariah says, famous pasuk, V'hoyah Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz, God is going to be king of the whole earth. And it will be a time of Hashem Echad v'shmo Echad. God is one and His name is one. That day is going to come. And I imagine when that day comes, they're going to know that Yirmiyahu is a true servant of God. Yirmiyahu has used the words Hevel and Ein Bam Mo'il. He has used it earlier in the Sefer a number of times to describe the nothingness of idolatry. There's only you. Hashem Uzi Uma Uzi Umenusi Biyom Tzara. Hayaseh lo Adam Elohim. What sense does it make? Can a man make for him a God? Can man create a God? Vehem lo Elohim. And all of their deities that they worship are not gods. We're going to talk right in a moment about the deities that they worship. Lachain, therefore, I'm going to let them know. And this time, I'm going to let them know my hand and my might. And they will know that my name is God. I'm going to do things that will make it absolutely clear to everybody that I am God. Chatat Yehuda ketuvah be'ed barzel, the sin of Yehuda is written with an iron pen, v'tziporen shomir. A tziporen is a nail, shomir, with a diamond-like end, something that's very strong and very sharp, and you engrave with it. The sin of Yehuda is engraved. Yes. No. The same, it's called a shamir because it was able to cut with the same strength that the diamond cuts. So it got the name shamir from here. Shamir is a diamond that has the ability to cut through stone or through other diamonds. And what Annette is talking about is when cutting and hewing the stones for the Mizbeach, the halacha is, Torah says, you cannot use metal upon it in order to cut it. Saharid Shlomo HaMelech cut it. So there was a form of worm called the shamir, that if you would make a line, it would just walk along the line and cut it. So the name shamir really comes from this shamir here. Shamir meaning something that is diamond-like and sharp. Charusha ali luach libam, it's plowed and cut in to their hearts. Ulekarnot mizbechotechem, and upon the corners of your altars. Kizikor b'nei mizbechotam. By the way, it's not an easy haftarah. Not an easy haftarah. It's a long, long time that I know this haftarah. And I find new things there all the time. Kizakar b'nehem mizbechotam, they remember their altars that they've made to idols with the same kind of longing that they remember their children. Va'ashirehem, the trees that they worship are near fresh foliage, fresh trees, on the high mountains, wherever there was a beautiful, beautiful place, there they would turn it into yes. I mean, you see that these places, have you ever seen the Baha'i, the beauty of the Baha'i gardens? That's where they had idolatry. Harariva Sadeh. Harariba Sadeh, my mountain in the field. What is Harariba Sadeh, my mountain in the field? Where is there a mountain in the field? Rashi says, Harariba Sadeh, I'll read the Rashi. Yerushalayim. Hayoshevet Bahor. Yerushalayim that's nestled on a mountain and around it are fields. Harariba Sodeh. The Mishor, the plain that is all around the city, is called the Sadeh. Harari, my mountain that's nestled over there in the field. Harariba Sadeh is a description of Yerushalayim. She's saying, you know what's going to happen to Yerushalayim? Chelcha, your possessions, kol otzrotecha, all of your treasures, lavaz etain, I'm going to make them spoils of war. They will take everything and destroy everything, b'motecha, the high places where you worship idols, b'chatoz, b'chol gvulecha, the sins that are in all of your boundaries. And you know what else is going to happen? Not only will Yerushalayim be sacked, and spoiled. V'shamatata. You will be removed from the land. By the way, as we always do when we're learning the Haftarah, we have to see what's the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah. So all of the Farshim, of course, say the word v'shamatata. This one word, because what does v'shamatata immediately bring to mind? Shmita. In the Parsha, in the Chukotai, it says that you're going to go into exile and the land is going to lie fallow all of those years that it did not lie fallow. Why? You were in Eretz Yisrael. All the Shemitahs that you didn't keep in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be that amount of time in Chutz Laretz, in exile. So here it is. V'shamatato, you're going to be removed from the land so that the land is going to remain fallow. Ubecha minachalatcha, you are going to be removed. You're going to be removed minachalatcha from your inheritance. Ashenotatilach, that land, the nachala, Eretz Yisrael that I gave to you, you're going to be removed. V'ha'avaditicha et oyevecha, and I'm going to make you slaves. You will work for your enemies. Ba'aretz asher lo yadata, in a land that you never knew. Ki eish kedachtem biapi, because you've caused a fire to burn in my nostrils, ad olam to God, forever it will burn. Wait. Ko Omar Hashem. So says God. And here I believe we're getting to the heart of the Haftarah. And here is the theme that I believe relates to the whole Sedra and is of extreme contemporary relevance. Koran Hashem, so says God. Orur hagever asher yiftach ba'adam, cursed is the man who places his trust in fellow man. V'sam bosor zero'o, and he sees his strength in the flesh of his arm. I can take care of myself. You understand? You know who I depend on? You know? There are some people who in God we trust, and there are others who trust in fellow men or in their own power. U'min Hashem yosur libo. The moment that one places his trust in any kind of power outside of God, this automatically means U'min Hashem yosur libo. His heart is turning away from man. The fact is that I believe the theme of all of Parashat Bechukotai is in Telchu Imi Bekeri, if you are going to see or look at everything as circumstance, happenstance, you're going to remove God from the equation of life. And you're just going to go around as though there is no Rabbeinu Shalom, then you understand. I'm going to leave you in the hand of circumstance. And in the hand of circumstance, you don't stand a chance. The whole parsha is, in the Chukosai Teleku, if you will go in my statutes, that mitzvotai tishmeru, then there will be peace in the land. I will give rain in its proper season. The land will give out its fruit. All the good of this world is going to come in the event that you are tuned into the Rabbeinu Shalom and you see God as the one who is the provider of all things. If not, the Sedra goes on to say, if you're not going to listen to God, you're not going to do his mitzvahs, you are going to turn away from him, you're going to see the whole world as a world of, well, dog eat dog, or man eat man, and everything that's going to be accomplished in life is by virtue of either I trust somebody or I trust myself. The message over here is bitachon in man is destructive. Only bitachon in God. Only bitachon in God can bring good to the Jewish people. Now, what's at the heart of this all? One thing is clear. A person who has bitachon, it means, and we're not talking about,
there are people who talk bitachon, and they don't really, you know, to really mean it is one thing. It's easy to say it, but it's not so easy to really believe it with b'lev nefesh. A person who has bitachon that God is the one who provides man with all of his needs will never dare even think about stealing from somebody else. But what happens if I trust in myself or in my fellow man? Then we're talking already the beginnings of a society that has already built into it the seeds of what may be its destruction. Because then it becomes, dog-eat-dog world. I tell you, or I believe even here, the curse of man who depends on himself or on fellow man, not the shot that God curses them. The curse is built into the system. What do you think I was thinking about during the course of what, is it 48 hours that we find out about the corruption that has infected the whole business world? It's frightening. It's terrifying. I'm ashamed. I'm mamish ashamed for the world. Everybody is spying on everybody else. By the way, I really, for the last 2-3 weeks already, every time I get a phone call, I mean, there are all sorts of noises on the phone. I'm paranoid. A big brother, I'm paranoid. Now, you know, as somebody once said, you know, people are paranoid, sometimes they're right. they have something to be paranoid about. Just this morning, I had two calls, and all the noise on the phone, beeps and things. I see these rooms someplace near the Rosh Memshala's office with guys with stuff over their ears, and every word is being taken down. He's also paranoid, yeah. But I tell you, I don't think that there's a businessman in the country today who's not paranoid. They are most probably going through their computers. They are terrified that all of their secrets, it's unbelievable. It's a frightening, frightening world. I'm almost embarrassed. If you believe that God is the one who decides what your panos is going to be, and Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, decides what your panos is going to be, you'll never even dream of all of this, dirty, filthy kind of stealing and robbing and surveillance. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yes, Malk. The more what? No. How do you like that, Malk? I usually agree with you. All that the advance of technology is, the Ganif has now better ways to steal. No, that's not what you said. Or that's what I understood you said. It sounded like the technology causes the Geneva. It's not the technology that causes the Geneva. You know, a Ganif, in the old days when a guy stole, how did he escape from the scene of the crime? On his donkey, right? And when they started making, when they made the wheel, and you had now wagons, a man escaped from the scene of the crime in a wagon. Today he gets away with a car or flies away with a plane. So it's not the plane that makes the Ganif. The Ganif uses the plane. The Ganif uses the technology that's available in order to, so he can steal on a much larger scale. Yes? Marvin, well, wait a minute. You're already after the fact.
Now already, all the fellows who are marbin echosim are now marbing daiga, you understand? I wouldn't want to be in their shoes now. They should all be hauled before a court and they should be punished to uproot this. And you know what I'm afraid they're going to do? They're going to take the lower echelon of Pakid and the presidents of the companies are going to get away. They didn't know. They didn't know. The prime minister didn't know that his son was getting millions of dollars for doing nothing. Didn't know. I shouldn't have said that. Why not? Who am I afraid of? Who am I afraid of? Who's gonna snitch on me? Who's gonna snitch on me? It all comes from a chesachon in betachon. Anybody who believes that he can get something that was not destined for him, a penny that was not destined for him, is making a tragic mistake. Chelcha, your wealth, v'chol otzrosecha, and all of your treasures, lavaz etein. God says it's going to be the spoils of war. And there went all of your great dreams of wealth, amassing power. Now watch, it's going to get even better, or worse, it depends on your point of view. The person who places his trust in fellow human being turns away from God. How many times did I quote the Rav? I must have quoted the Rav 10 times. Because I remember hearing it and like it just shook me when he was talking about the failure of American Jewry during the Holocaust. I remember him crying out, "I blame no one. Why didn't I run out into the streets of Boston as Mordechai of old and cry out a terrible cry? Our sin was that we placed our faith in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We trusted the President of the United States of America. Man never has a right to trust fellow, put faith in fellow human being. Never." That's Oror HaGever Ashishtar Ba'adam. Vayohi will be Ka'ar Or Ba'arava. An Ar is a tree that stands alone in the wasteland of the Arava. V'lo yireh ki yavo tov. This Ar, this tree that remains alone, will not see good. V'shachan chareirim bamidbar, it's going to dwell in very dry places in the desert. Eretz melecha, land that is so, so full of salt. V'lo teishev, and will not be inhabited. The end of the person who does not place his trust in God is that ultimately he will disappear. Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach BaHashem. Blessed is the man who places his trust in God. V'hayo Hashem Miftacho. God is his fortress. V'hayo Ke'ed Shatul Al Mayim. This may bring to mind the first chapter in Tehillim. He shall be like a tree that is planted by water. Val yuval yishalach shirav shav. He will send his roots along the streams of water. Velo yireh ki yavo chom. He's not going to be concerned when the heat is going to come. V'hoya olehu ra'anon. His leaf will be fresh. Ubishnat bat sodet lo yidag, and in a year of drought he will not worry. V'lo yomush me'asot peri, and he will not be removed ever from producing fruit. Let me tell you a little bit of, you know, there are all sorts of thoughts that go through my head. The description of Yerushalayim was harori basodeh, my mountain in the field. To me, this brings to mind an association with a famous Gemara. A Gemara that is based on a famous pasuk. the pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, in days to come, the Noharu, you know, Lo Yisog Goyel Goy Cherev, no nation will lift up sword against nation. The Noharu Elav, all of the nations are going to come, they're going to flow toward Yerushalayim, and they're going to say, Lechu, let us go, V'na'aleh, and we are going to go up, El Har, Beit Hashem, Beit Elokei Yaakov, the house of the God of Yaakov. They're going to stream to Yerushalayim. That's going to be the day of Ahoy Hashem Lemelech, Al Kol Ha'aretz. God is going to be king over the whole earth. That's going to be the day of the Pasuk, the first Pasuk in that Torah. Goyim Yavo, Me'af Se'aretz, Goyim are going to come from the very ends of the earth, and they're going to say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, our fathers taught us that which was false. You remember, of course, that throughout our study of Tanakh, I have always said that when the Navi talks about idolatry, the Navi does not necessarily mean people who are bowing down before idols made of metal or wood or clay. The Rav always used to say that the worst Avodah Zorah is the Avodah Zorah then of the 20th century. The Avodah of the 20th century is that man worships himself. At the beginning of the 20th century, man believed that he would be able to resolve all of the problems of the world. There were already, Watson, hello Watson, who was it? Alexander Graham Bell had already spoken to somebody in the next room. This was, did he know that this would give birth to the Ganovim of Pelophone and Cellcom and Orange? By the way, I'm worst ashamed of Orange. That Orange should have done that. Orange should have done that. It's but because Gush Katif is embarrassed. Orange has to be above any kind of suspicion. What are you talking about? Shandan Achata. By the way, I made a decision. I'm not buying a Volvo because Volvo was involved in this great scam. Before you know it, I won't be able to buy anything to eat because every big company in the country was involved in the Trojan horse. The Trojan horse. By the way, there's a great deal of meaning to the idea of Trojan horse. Well, Eile Berechev, Eile Basusim, and I also have a feeling, well, maybe I'll make sure that I don't produce this tape, but the sin of the last 13 years and the sin that we continue to commit is the sin of bringing a Trojan horse into Eretz Israel. We brought the Trojan horse in from Tunis, 40,000 killers we brought into the country. And we gave them weapons. And we're leaving the country open for more killers, and they don't even have to come in a horse. We bring them in. And the onesh is Trojan horse, Mida Keneged Mida. Trojan horse for Trojan horse. All right. That was the... that was Torah too. All right. The great idolatry of all is when man worships himself. There is no place in a man's mind or heart for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam if he is full of himself. If he sees himself as the master of his own destiny, there is no other master of his destiny. That's exactly what Yirmiyahu was talking about. Order ha-gever ashi-yiftach ba-adam. V'sam pasor zero-o. If you trust in man, then you are headed for absolute disaster. The whole story of Parshas Bechukosai is the removal of God from the consciousness of man. If there's a removal of God, then you're going to be open to all of the elements. If you're going to see events in the world as a mere coincidence, a happenstance,
it doesn't really mean anything, and the one who will navigate the ship of state is going to be man, then disaster is coming. On the other hand, Baruch HaGever, yeah, okay, and here comes Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes says the following. People talk bitachon, and they may not necessarily mean it. You never know. You know, sometimes I get this feeling, oh, you can sit and learn, well, yeah. How are you going to make a living? Bitachon. All right. Little do I know that he has a v'satata v'sereich v'tzein kairach, you understand? And he's got a bank account that says, yeah, that can choke 10 horses. All right? But you talk bitachon. And then there are honest people who talk bitachon and they mean bitachon. How do you know? You never know. And Yirmiyahu tells you, beware. Akov halev mikol. Of all the organs of the body, the one that is most akov, deceitful. All right, that's not a bad word. Deceitful. V'onushu. Onushu means, as we use the word in modern Hebrew, very ill. Very ill. Mi yedoenu. Who can know what somebody really means when they talk of bitachon? Who has a clue? Who has a clue? The only one who knows is the Rebbeinu Shem himself. He knows. So you can have people who talk bitachon, and bitachon is fundamental. I think it was 25 years ago, soon after I came on Aliyah, I don't know, I was having aches and pains. Freinest, I tell you, I felt like a wreck. So I went to my doctor, or a fellow that I chose then. I didn't have a doctor. So I chose somebody nearby. I went, and he's still my doctor 25 years later, you understand? Still my doctor. Despite the fact that he's an Englishman from Manchester. So if anybody ever tells you that I have anything against the British, not so. So I remember the first prescription, I thought, who knows what he's going to give me? So he writes me a prescription, and the prescription says, learn the Shar HaBitachon of the Chovas Alvavas. All right? The Chovas Alvavas was Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pekuda, who was one of the great thinkers, wrote a sefer called Chovas Alvavas, Duties of the Heart. And one of these sections is Shar HaBitachon, the gate that talks about Bitachon. By the way, the doctor was right. How do you like that? I was going through all sorts of Aliyah-related problems, and I needed something to keep my spirits up. He didn't give me Vayim, he didn't give me nothing, he just told me, learn the Shar HaBitachon. He's still telling me that 25 years later. But I throw it back at him sometimes when he complains to me. To me, he complains about his aches and pains. So I get back at him and I tell him, learn the Shar HaBitachon. You understand? There's no question about it. The fact is that without bitachon, we don't make our way through our lives. On some level, there has to be bitachon. Because we're buffeted by all sorts of forces in life. There are moments at which we realize we don't fully control our own lives. We don't have control. And by the way, that's when we lose our equilibrium most. When we feel that events are overtaking us and there's nothing we can do about it. Terrible things are happening. I want to scream and nobody's listening. That's one of the most difficult feelings that man has to deal with. You lose control. I always think of that. You know, how many times never you have to read in the paper that there's a terrible, tragic car accident, and the paper says, Avad shlita al harechev. Lost control of the car. Lost control. Losing control can be destructive. Can be absolutely destructive. When we feel that there are events going on, I mean, in our own lives, family, community, country, and we can't do anything about it, you know, we feel very, very frustrated. So then we find ways to deal with it. So one, of course, is to indeed learn the Shaar HaBitachon. The other is to take an orange ribbon and tie it on to your car someplace. You feel you're making a statement. You're saying something. There are all sorts of ways that we find, or we have to find, in order to deal with our loss of control. But the ultimate agent with which to deal with it is bitachon. Now the Malbim says, you have to be very careful, you have to understand that a man can trust God and man. That's possible. You know what it means? For example, there's a pasuk in the Navi where the Navi says about Asa, king of Yehuda, who took ill, and at first he had been a tzaddik, and he took ill, and he went to the doctors, and the Navi condemns him in the name of God because he went to doctors. All the Mepharshim is, what are you talking about? The Torah says you're supposed to go to a doctor. You're sick, you go to a doctor. So the Gemara says, the Mepharshim tell us, because he put all of his faith in doctors. Now, if the doctor is God, then that's obviously the right thing to do. But what it means is, I have a right to have full faith in God and then believe that this doctor can be the Rebbein Shem's Gitta Shliach. He has to do it. He has to bring the Yeshua or the Refuah through somebody. It's not going to be a Nez Goli. I need a doctor. So there, if one understands that you go to the doctor, and the doctor is the one who can be God's agent, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. On the contrary, that's the normal way in which things can happen. But Pasuk Tes, he says, people can talk bitachon and bitachon. Doesn't mean anything. Yes?
It applies to an army as well.
Does it? It applies to an army. It applies to Bush, but I don't think he's going to be any of any help. It applies to anything and everything. I don't have to be able to do everything for myself. There are gitter shlichim. Don't we always talk about that in Yiddish? The gitter shliach. A shatchin doesn't make a shidduch. A Rebbein Shem makes a shidduch. But the shatchin is the gitter shliach. And that fits in well with the idea of bitachon. So now, they talk bitachon, but there is no bitachon because the heart is very, very tricky. But Ani Hashem, I know the truth. Ani Hashem choker leiv bochein kloyot. I Hashem choker leiv, I delve into the heart. Bochein kloyot, I test the mind of men. Why do I do it? Latet le'ish kidrachav, to give men, reward him in his way, kifri ma'alalav, the fruit of his actions. We had a similar pasuk in last week's Haftorah in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk that I pointed out to you is the one that said by a funeral on the cemetery, gedol ha'etzah v'rav ha'aliliyah, great is God's counsel, your eyes are open on kol darkei ish, to see all of the ways of men, latet leish kidrachav v'chifrim alalav, to reward and punish. Do another few psukim. They're amazing psukim here, and also extremely important from the point of view of our contemporary situation. Korei dogor v'lo yolad. Korei dogor, this is most probably the pasuk that is most significant in terms
of current events. Kore Dogor. Now, a kore is a bird. What kind of bird it is, according to most of the Mefarshim, it's a partridge or a pheasant. Frag mich bechedem if I know the difference between a partridge and a pheasant. There's some kind of song about partridges that I remember from 100 years ago. A partridge or a pheasant. The only thing the Gemara says about a kore is that a kore is a kosher bird. Dogor. Dogor, Rashi says dogor means chirps. He just chirps incessantly. Doesn't stop chirping. Mamish hakten kop. There is another meaning to the word dogor. And that's, many of the Mefarshim say that the word dogor is the act of a bird that sits upon the eggs. The process of warming the eggs so that they should ultimately hatch. That's the act of dogor. Now the kore, the pheasant or the partridge, has some kind of a strange minig. First of all, they can lay between 5 and 14 eggs at a time. So we're talking already about a pretty full nest. And for some reason, it goes ahead and it picks up strange eggs. You know? And it can end up with a nest of 30 eggs. Now, the partridge is a small bird. There's no way that it's going to be able to bring all those eggs to hatch. So what's going to happen is the following. Many are just going to die. And then of the ones that hatch, there are those that are her own eggs, and then there are others that are not her own eggs. The ones that are not her own eggs, she'll take one look at this chick and know that it's not hers, and throw it out, or the chick will leave on its own. So in other words, the kore, you know what the kore does? The kore, you know, golden eggs that are not hers, it's stolen, it's not hers. The end is, they're going to depart, they're going to get lost. This is the, you see, Yirmiyahu in this chapter has used two metaphors. One is from the Olam Hatzomeach, that which grows. He's been talking about a tree in the Arava that is dry and has no fruit. He's talking about a tree that is full of life and luscious. He has now a second metaphor, and this metaphor is from the world of the fowl of life. And he says, you know what the kore dogor velo yalad is like? Ose osher velo b'mishpat. A person who amasses wealth illegally. Illegally. It's a ganef. He's a Trojan horse. He steals ideas from others. A ganef. You know what happened? Because the kore is precisely that. She has eggs that are not her eggs. And what's going to happen with them? Are they going to die or they're going to leave? Anything that's not hers is going to be lost. So Yirmiyahu says that's exactly what's going to happen to the person who amasses wealth unjustly. It's not his. And you know what will happen? Bechatzi yomov yazvenu. In the middle of his life, he's not going to hold on to that money to the end of his life. In the middle of his life, one day is going to come the great revelation that the fella is a lowlife, a nidetrechtik, a thief. I like that word, nidetrechtik. There's nothing in English that can match the power of nidetrechtik, a ganef. I was raised in a Yiddish-speaking home. What are you talking about?
It's German.
It's German?
German.
Niederträchtig. Well, I'm sorry, it's like many other words that became Yiddish. We stole it from German, but we sanctified it. Became Yiddish, it became holy. Uba'acharito, listen to this pasuk. You have to learn this pasuk over and again. Uba'acharito, at the end, yiyeh naval. You know what he's going to be? He's going to be a knave. The fellow who yesterday was the CEO of this great company. They're booking them all. There are so many fingers that are black from being booked. These guys who are the upper class of Eretz Yisrael, the business elite. What are you talking about? By the way, elite is also part of it. And Asis, and Osem, and Bacharito Yenaval. He doesn't realize that not only will he lose all of that wealth that he has amassed illegally, Shalom Mishpat. The end is he'll remain without the money and without his reputation absolutely in ruins. And we've seen it happen time and time again. Now it's only happening, you know, wholesale. I mean, this is wholesale. But this is what has happened all the time. How many times have we seen big businessmen that are called before court because the guy was a low-life thief? That's what he was. Where does it all come from? It all comes from a lack of bitachon. It all comes, that's the one source. If you believe that the Rebbeinu Shem gives parnasa, then you are going to act honestly. If you think that you can make your own parnasa and reject halacha and decency and ethics and morality, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it all. And the end is that you're going to be a rosha in the eyes of the community. I see these pictures. You know, for some strange reason, these guys have a little bit more dignity. I haven't seen anybody yet, you know, with his jacket over his face. You know, their pictures. I mean, the pictures of all the CEOs of all the companies. It's unbelievable. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not enjoying this. I said at the outset, I'm embarrassed. I'm very, very embarrassed. As far as the world is concerned, we're supposed to be Or LaGoyim, the night light to the nations. You know what I'm beginning to think now? That's why Yirmiyahu stated at the very beginning of the first pasuk, the end is going to be that the nations of the world are going to come here to Yerushalayim and say, Hashem hu elokim, Hashem hu elokim. Shame on me, ice kicking, you understand? We're going to look pretty good. When goyim are going to come here and say, we believe in the Lord, and our chilainim over here are going to walk around, they don't have a clue what a chabenshon means. It's very, I'm very embarrassed about it. I think all of our problems here, of the removal of God from the consciousness of the state. I mean, there's no question about it. Everything is related to that. If we would have a belief in the Rebbeinu, what have they done? They've turned it to anybody who has a munah or bitachon and believes in the Rebbeinu Shlilim is a right-wing extremist. That's what we're right-wing extremists. When we talk yosher and we talk mishpat and we talk history, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. They are destroying the tree upon which they rest. It's unbelievable. It's mamish. It pains me and it hurts me. And they go ahead with it. They keep going ahead. I mean, I keep reading over and over again the words of Rav Kook, except that Rav Kook says that there's going to be a point, like a breaking point, a breakdown of morality, sort of that the society here is going to be in a state of collapse, and on the ruins will be built a Torah society in Eretz Yisrael. I read it. It's scary. I get the feeling we're getting closer and closer to the moment at which there's going to be an inner collapse of society. Nothing to do with anybody from the outside. You can't have a society that has removed the rebellion. Every time I take a look at an American coin that says "In God We Trust," the American Congress opens with a prayer every day. Can you imagine what would happen if somebody would suggest that we should open Knesset every day with a Kapitel Tillim? What are you talking about? There would be blood flowing in the streets of Eretz Yisrael with a Kapitel Tillim noch ha-chashuchim, these blackies, you understand, from the Middle Ages. What it really means is that the responsibility to rebuild that society is the responsibility that's going to fall upon us. We didn't build Eretz Yisrael the first time around. We can have to build it the second time around. There's no question about it. I believe Rav Kook was right. There's going to be deterioration. We see a deterioration. The amount of crime. I mean, this is certainly not a tape that anybody in Chutz Laaretz can listen to. The crime. I get sick every day. Every day I read about, I mean, this terrible tragedy of a girl walking out in the street, and it's terrible. Murder. What murder was not was unknown over here. Murder. It's all the lack of bitachon. You remove the Rabbeinu Shlilim from the equation of life, you're left with absolutely nothing. Nothing. Less pasuk, at least. Because Yirmiyahu does the right thing. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem kol yisvecho yevoshum. The hope of the Jewish people is God. And those who forsake you will be shamed and will be embarrassed. Ki vesurai bo'oretz yikosefu. Those who remove themselves from me will be written in dred, into the earth. Because they have forsaken the living waters, they've forsaken the Rabbeinu Shlom. And the last pasuk, if this haftarah, is a personal tefillah of Yirmiyahu, which Anshei Knesset Hagadola have turned into a public prayer for all of Klal Yisrael. He says it in the singular, Refa'eini Hashem ve'edofei, God, heal me and I will be healed. You know what this expression, you know what he's saying? I have bitachon in the Rabbeinu Shlilo. It's plain and simple. Just as the beginning of the Haftarah was, Hashem uzi umo uzi umenusi biyom tzara, God is my strength and my fortress, the one whom I run to in a day of tzara. At the end he prays, Refa'eini Hashem. And the word refuah, by the way, is used in Tanakh not only to talk about healing a physical ailment. Refuah refers to any kind of salvation. One finds himself in terrible straits. He's being pursued by enemy. Saving a man is refuah. Hoshieni, you save me. Vo'ivoshea, ki tihilati ata. Because what I want to do is praise you more than anything else. This Haftorah is a song to the whole idea of betachon. Real betachon. You know what? I have a prescription for you. You should learn the Shara Bitachon of the Chavis Alvavis. You can get it it's an English translation. It is an amazing, amazing document. Okay.